Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, November 22nd, 2010. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Triumphing in Adverse Situations, with my guest, Emily Sirocco, an author and international speaker. But first, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners, to the show. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. Now, if you're listening live, I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. If you're on the phone lines, you could do that just by pressing #1, and that will let me know you have a question or a comment. If you're over there in the chat room, just type in your questions or your comments, and I'll be able to see them and read them on the air. Now, if you're listening to the recorded version of the show, I want to welcome and thank you as well. Many of the listeners do that. Regardless of how you access the show, if you enjoy it, don't keep it a secret. On my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, you can see where to add yourself as a friend of my show. You will also see the little icons over there to follow me on Twitter and on Facebook. So please do that, and I will be so grateful and delighted. Now, I know that many of you have your own businesses. So before we move on, I want to tell you about the business tool I used to help me discover my ideal client. It's the Ideal Client Action Guide. It helped me realize that trying to be everything to everybody is like using a BB gun to try to hit a bullseye. You know how that would work. By working through the activities with the guidance of the audio recording, I was able to take the guesswork out of my marketing, and so can you. At www.idealclientactionguide.com. If you are ready to grow your business, add more clients, and enjoy the increased profits you deserve, then tailoring your marketing to your ideal client is the key to your success. So do what I did. Get your copy of the guide today at www.idealclientactionguide.com. Again, I'm Flora Brown, author, coach, and inspirational speaker. I invite you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, where you can sign up for life coaching if you're ready to make that U-turn in your life, Y-O-U. I'm also now booking personal appearances for 2011. So if you would like to have me appear in person to motivate, train, or inspire your group, your staff, your book club, or some other kind of event, submit a request on my website at the Book Flora tab. There's a tab at the top of the page that says Book Flora. And there you can book me or email me directly if you have questions, flora@florabrown.com. I'm also lining up a wonderful teleclass that is going to be offered the first week of December for those of you who are looking forward to the holidays, but maybe not with lots of glee. I realize that there are lots of people that look forward to the holidays with a little bit of dread and fear of stress. So I'm going to team up with a wonderful co-host, and we're going to be offering this great one-day seminar, one-hour seminar. I want you to be sure to sign up for it. So go to my homepage, coloryourlifehappy.com, and you will see a way to follow the link to get to that sign up. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. To get at that goal, each week I interview guests from various fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, all of those things which contribute to lasting happiness. Now, today's episode is Triumphing in Adverse Situations with my guest, Emily Sirocco, an author, an international speaker who delivers messages of healing, restoration, transformation, and hope. At some point in life, everyone will face adversity in one form or another. Emily's messages of healing, restoration, and hope teach you strategies to overcome adversity and embrace the opportunities it presents to live a purposeful and victorious life. She inspires, motivates, and empowers her audience to move to higher heights. Now, Emily is also a philanthropist, a co-founder of Jamie International Outreach Ministries, which assists orphans, vulnerable children, widows, and widowers. She works at the Department of State as a coordinator for women in business and lives in Fairfax, Virginia, with her family. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show Emily Sirocco. Hi, Emily.
Oh, hi, Flora. I'm really excited today to be in your show. It's in the afternoon here in the Washington area, so I know you're dying. I in the morning, but yeah, I'm really excited.
Well, cool. I'm so happy that you were able to join us because your message is so important. There is no doubt that every single one of us, without exception, will encounter adversity. And it is important to learn how to deal with that since it's a guarantee that we're going to encounter it. So let's start with a definition. What do you mean by adversity?
Well, adversity is generally a term that, you know, includes trouble, affliction, opposition, tribulation. But I like to look at it as a disruption of what we call normal life.
So it's something, it's a part of normal life. And in some ways, you said it's instruction and it's there's a lesson. There's something in there to be learned, correct?
Yes, it's correct. We know when we have our everything working for us and all of a sudden life is not normal, then I think we do have adversity. For example, some of the most severe forms of adversity are when we lose a loved one,
mm-hmm.
when our relationships end in divorce, when we lose mm-hmm. our jobs or our income, or some of our relatives or loved ones are suffering from illness. Or we are just experiencing feelings of being unfulfilled. So these are some ways, some forms of adversity. And yes, every one of us will encounter some form of adversity at some point in our life. And, you know, this includes individuals, families, communities, even nations. You know, if we think about September 11th, America mm-hmm. as a nation and nations across the world suffered, you know, similar adversity. We were all faced with this thing that we are all asking, what is going on? What has just happened that forces us to reflect on life and to mm-hmm. see how precious life is and how precious normalcy is when everything is going normal, you know, when it's disrupted. I think we question so many things in our lives.
Yeah, you touched on a very important point, and that is unless we have adversity or until we have adversity, we tend to take normal life, whatever our normal life is, for granted. And we don't realize how great our normal lives are until they are upset by some event or something. So we want to talk about rising above it, but why is it so important to rise above the adversity? It seems like the alternative isn't good. So why is it important to learn how to rise above it?
Before I answer that question, I wanted to talk a little bit about a few of the things I mentioned, like the greatest forms of adversity, like losing a loved one. You know,
yes.
We live our lives, you know, we know that we are all going to die, but we don't really think about it because it's
right.
not a good, basically because it's not a good thought.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we live our lives as if we are going to be here forever, which is not
yes.
true. So as a result, we find ourselves just running after material possessions, reputation, popularity. These things become of paramount importance to us. We devote a lot of time and energy in them, and we forsake our spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And then when death comes, we are completely ignorant and we are unprepared. We don't know how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how we find ourselves really suffering so much adversity. You know, children are not prepared that a parent can die. Or some of us have husbands and wives. We love each other so dearly. And we all know that one of us can die any minute, but we don't even talk about it, you know?
Right. And you're so right. One of the things you mentioned, that we devote all this time chasing after material things and neglect the spiritual side, which is the side of our lives that really gives us hope and consolation when these adverse situations come. So we sort of have a deficit of spiritual grounding when we try to reach for it when we have adversity, correct?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you find that if a family member dies, everybody goes to church.
Right.
Even the community, people in the community who never go to church, this is the one time they will go to church. But we need to kind of strike a balance, because I'm emphasizing on this one because it's the most fiercest form of adversity, losing a loved one. It's the one that most people cannot deal with because it's very fierce. But, and I don't mean to quote scripture, we should just have our priorities right. Because we are told to seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things, they will not be taken away, but they will be added unto us. And basically what that means is that we have that spiritual balance that helps us deal with adversity. It's like building a house on a strong foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Then when the storms of life, which are adversities, come, we are able to endure. And, of course, in my book, I talk about my grandmother and how I dealt with her. You know, she died and she brought me up, and that's one of the reasons I wrote the book. I was completely, absolutely devastated when my grandmother died. Nobody had talked to me. We had, you know, just talked about death, but I was totally unprepared, and I suffered incredible adversity as a result.
Mm-hmm. This is a good time to tell the listeners the name of your book and how they can get it. Let's do that right now.
Okay. The name of my book is called Rising Above Adversity, A Life Journey for High Achievers, How to Determine What You Want and Then Execute a Plan to Get It. And you can find this on risingaboveadversity.com.
Okay. All right, so let me repeat that. It's www.rising, R-I-S-I-N-G, above adversity, ADVERSITY.com, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. All right, so that's an important book, and I like the subtitle that you added on the end because you kind of covered everything we needed to do and know about with that adversity. So I urge listeners to go over there and grab a copy of your book, because you had a very strong motivation for writing it. So I know that what you learned through your experience with your grandmother's passing is going to be powerful for us as well.
Absolutely.
Now let's go back to, you talked about striking a balance, and you talked about seeking first the kingdom of God. And one of the things that came to my mind when you were talking about how when someone dies, a loved one dies, how everybody rushes to church.
Mm-hmm.
And I also was thinking about that same kind of behavior when there's been, let's say, a child that's been killed. I don't know about on the East Coast, but over here in California, people have gotten into the practice of taking, creating almost a shrine at the home or the corner. If a kid is hit by a runaway driver or whatever corner it happens on, people flock to that corner with flowers, teddy bears, notes, I mean, candlelight, vigils. They just turn out in all these numbers, and of course these are lots of people who don't know that child personally, didn't know that child personally, but they are so moved by that tragedy. And many times you hear the reporters will ask the people who knew this child in school or teachers or whatever about the kid, and almost always they say this was a wonderful person with a lot of promise and so forth. I always wonder, did any of these people who knew this child ever tell this child how wonderful he or she was when they were alive, you know? It just seems to me that to react when someone dies tragically or otherwise in such a dramatic way it's fine, but it's kind of unfortunate if we never told that person what we feel about them when they were alive. You know, I just think about that when I see this outpouring.
Yeah, that actually goes to the chapter of nurturing the family, because, you know, as parents, as neighbors, community, you know, we are all very busy chasing what I like to call the dollar. We have to have
mm-hmm.
jobs. We have families too. But I guess spending time with your loved ones, you know, appreciating them and, you know, just as you said, telling them they are great before they die is a good thing. And it also really helps with adversity, because you'd have spent time with this person. Again, it's the priorities here. Do I
yeah.
want to spend a lot of time working 12 hours to buy a big, huge house? That I'm most of the times I'm not there because I have to earn the money. Or do I want to spend time with the kids? And you know, it's a material thing. What is important to you? I guess is the question here we have to be asking ourselves. If we have kids, should one spouse have a part-time job you know, spend time with the kids? You know, all these things are things that families need to get together and have a family meeting and find out what is important to them, what is their
exactly.
priority.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, and act on it right away. I think one of the things you said earlier is that we know that we each are going to die, but
mm-hmm.
somehow or another we live our lives as if we're going to live forever, and
mm-hmm.
we don't seem to have enough of a sense of urgency about setting these priorities, spending more time with loved ones, working less and enjoying more, the very things you just said. We need to set this as an urgent thing. It's not something that we need to put off, and yet we do too often.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is where, again, spirituality, and it could be different forms of spirituality, kicks in, because, studying the Word of God kind of, the principles are putting what is important first.
Yes.
You know, when we
yes.
have children, we think these children are going to be in the house for a long time, but lo and behold, in a few years, they are gone.
That's right.
Then you still have time to do other things that you want to do.
That's right.
Yeah,
and
so
one
if
of,
we can, mm-hmm, go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the things about raising children, you do have to make them a priority because the time with them is so fleeting, so fleeting.
Absolutely. So I think when we are young and having children, we don't, we probably need coaches, somebody to coach us.
That's right.
We are learning on the job and making a lot of mistakes, and later on is when we realize, I wish I knew this. The other thing I talk about is most women are not mothers, you see, and this is very deep. Not all women are mothers, and not all men are fathers.
Right, right, right.
We need some training. And again, this is another area where we never go for training and we just learn on the job. And
on the job.
On the job training.
It's one of the jobs you don't even have to qualify for to get.
Right,
you don't have
right,
to take
right.
any exams. You just jump into that job. And now, speaking of learning on the job and needing help, this might be a good time to tell us about your coaching program and your charities and what you do to help families and mothers and parents and so forth.
After I wrote my book, I discovered there was so much learning to be done and so much teaching to do. And so in my community, I've just become a life spiritual coach. And I mean, people call me, and you can reach me on my website, www.risingaboveadversity.com. You can send me an email at emily@risingaboveadversity.com, or you can call me at 301-442-7695, and we can talk about most of the things that pertain to spirituality and rising above adversity.
Right. I'm happy that you are putting spirituality as the foundation of this, because it is like a bank account of a reservoir where we can go for strength when we hit these adverse situations. And if we haven't done something to build it up beforehand, then we're going to go to an account that's overdrawn, that's empty, and we won't be able to draw from it.
Yeah, that's correct. Actually, the other things, I don't know what your next question is, but the other forms of adversity I talk about is, of course, broken relationships, divorce, and why it's important to overcome it, loss of jobs, income, you know, with this financial crisis, all these are in the same category, loss of job, income, people losing their homes, again, all these losses, and people need to grieve. They have to go through a grieving process and get healing, heal from whatever it is that they are grieving, and then master it and overcome it. Because you find that now with the things I'm talking about in my book, losing a loved one and divorce, these two are similar because a loss is a loss.
Yes, yes.
And also they are like death, these two. But when you lose your job and your income, it's another loss. And so you find in our communities, in the world, there's a lot of people who are grieving and they never heal from this grieving. So we have a lot of wounded people walking around.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
why we have very few high achievers.
Right, right. I'm glad you pointed this out, because one of the things I think, excuse me, even in our upbringing sometimes, I think our parents were too quick to try to get us to stop crying or to, you know, be a big girl or be a big boy, don't cry. And that was kind of a stuffing down and not acknowledging your pain. And what you're saying, what I hear you saying, is that the grieving process is very important in order for us to move on. We can't just ignore it or pretend it's not there or just try to glaze over it. We need to go through it, is what I hear you saying. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's very correct, because, again, there are so many people who are wounded from different wounds. Some of them is how they are growing up in dysfunctional families, and this is a really big one.
Yes.
And because we are also brought up by parents who came from a dysfunctional family, they do not know how to parent us.
Right.
We pass it down to our children. It's just a very vicious cycle that we are just going round and round. And so the first step is really to acknowledge, what is it that you are suffering? Why are you wounded? What are your wounds from? Did you lose? There are some people who lost a loved one and did not even spend time grieving. They are too busy. So you go bury somebody and continue your life. But deep inside, you have a problem. And so you get married and you get divorced because there are some problems that you need to deal with.
From the previous relationship.
from previous relationships. And this is where we are saying, you know, you cannot rise above all these adversities. Some of us have numerous adversities within us, and we don't even know. We are not even aware. But slowing down in life, spirituality is what cures this thing. No doctor can cure this.
Right, right. That's so absolutely true. Now, why is it so important to rise above these things? You touched on it already, and that is that we can't move forward.
Yeah, we are stuck.
Right.
Yeah, basically we are stuck in life. If we don't rise above adversity, we are stuck. where whatever it is, whatever form of adversity we suffered and we did not deal with it, we are stuck right there.
Mm.
We have to go back and deal with it and get healed from it,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
master it and rise above it. So
right.
that, for example, if a woman or a man loses their loved one and they are not able to overcome that, you find they are in the, here in Washington, D.C., we use metro transportation to go to work. They'll be sitting in the metro and they break down. They start crying.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot move on. They are stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard about women who've lost their children and they've completely stopped living for years
right.
and years and years.
Yes.
But we need to accept what has happened to us. You've lost a job. Is it the end of the world? What can you do? You have to accept, yes, I've lost this job, but what is the next plan? What do I need to do now
right,
to move on
right.
with my life? Do I start my own small business? Whatever it is, it's actually, adversity is a very good thing. If there's anything the listeners are going to take from this, is that adversity is a good thing. You need to embrace adversity. Without adversity, there is no growth. There is no development in anybody.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Each time we
right.
suffer adversity, it's time for us to grow and to move on to the greater height. But
right.
we can only do that if we think like that.
Exactly.
We have to embrace it. For example, I have a friend of mine who was fired. Basically, one day he went to work and he was fired. And he was so ashamed of it, he could not even tell his wife that he was fired. So he would wake up and go around and come back until eventually he faced reality. You know, at the end of the month, he's going to bring the check home. And he didn't have
right.
any check. So he came and said, honey, I got fired. And the wife was like, how long ago? A month ago. But I couldn't deal with it. And they sat down, called a few friends. This guy put up a plan together. And now he started a business which is thriving. He's made so much money.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful that he eventually did tell her. Well, he had a point at which he had to say something at the end of the month. But there's so many times people let things like that devastate them, and they define themselves by that job that they lost, and they don't allow themselves to move on. And that's unfortunate because there's so much greater waiting for you. Sometimes losing one job is a very good thing because it moves you to something even better.
Absolutely. Yes,
yeah.
It does. It's that most of us live in that denial, and we spend many years living in denial.
Right, right. That's a very dangerous place,
mm-hmm.
denial. I know you believe in the benefits of dreaming. Tell us, what are the benefits of dreaming?
Yeah, if we don't dream, we might as well be dead. Dreaming is very important because that's how we paint the life that we want. What do we want? Who do we want to become? What do we want our future to look like?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important to dream, and we cannot. Some people say, I'm too old to dream. Well, the good news is that you're never too old to dream. If you stop dreaming, you are just a dead living person. So
that's
we
right.
have to continue dreaming. I use examples of people who dreamed, and one of them is Martin Luther King Jr. And he just, a different kind of dream where he comes out and says, I have a dream. That one day this nation will, whatever, ABCD. And for me, in my book, I talk about him dreaming. When he was dreaming, he didn't even think that Barack Obama would be president of the United States.
He threw
that out as what he would want to see the future look like. And it exceeded his expectations. Yeah, so it's very important for all of us to individually dream about, our own future. What do we want tomorrow to look like? Do you want to move from A to B, and how, and then make little baby steps to get there.
Right, right. So you're suggesting that we need to have some kind of game plan,
yes,
correct,
you have,
for this dream. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, you need to have a game plan. You've got to have a strategy. Again, it's like a roadmap, and you can also think of it as, how do you get from plan A to plan B,
mm-hmm.
and all the little baby steps that you're gonna take, and also if that doesn't happen, how do you have plan B, plan A? You know, you engage different strategies until what you're looking for works out.
Mm-hmm.
You just never give up. You keep moving. You have to continuously be on the move. It's just like MapQuest. When I'm driving and I want to go to Baltimore, I put the address in my MapQuest. It's going to take me there. And
yes.
if I take a wrong exit, it's going to recalculate.
Right.
And make sure I get where I'm going. So the game plan is as simple as the way to look at it very simply. It's your MapQuest.
Exactly. And I want to point out, too, that earlier you were talking about spirituality. I think that when we have a deep spiritual life, it helps mm-hmm. us with our game plan, because I think the spirituality, our connection to God or whatever we want to call our higher power, is
mm-hmm.
like the GPS. I call it the God positioning system, because it's what helps us recalculate or redirect our routes, because sometimes we will, along with this game plan, like you say, we'll do step A, step B, and then we hit some kind of snag. We need to reroute or to change direction, and that's what I think having a solid spiritual foundation helps you know when it's time to change your direction. Or in the case of the pilot sometimes on the plane says, we're going to be experiencing turbulence, and I'm going to increase our altitude and rise above this turbulence. And sometimes that's what happens in our lives. We have to rise above it. We have to change directions. And I think our spirituality helps us with this, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, the GPS is in the spiritual world is the Holy Spirit. It's the voice
That's right.
that speaks to you.
That's
it,
right.
It's a voice that tells you make a left turn, make a right turn. We are lost. We need to go back to the original plan.
That's right.
So, but the thing is, you have to be listening to this Holy Spirit, because the other thing that happens is most of us are not listening. We just drive.
That's right. Well, because we have so much noise going on in our heads and in our lives. And I was listening to a tape this morning from Deepak Chopra about the laws of spirituality, and he was talking
mm-hmm.
about the importance of getting quiet. Never mind meditation. Some people don't like the word meditation. They think they have to do something unique. But just getting quiet, not talking,
absolutely.
Not having the television or anything on, is very beneficial, and that will help us eventually get in touch with the Holy Spirit and our own GPS. Now, I want you to talk about the purposeful life, because most of us want to live a purposeful life but aren't quite sure how to go about doing that. Could you give us some tips about that?
Yeah, a purposeful life is a life lived with an intended reason to perform and achieve the desired results that have a meaning that is fulfilling and satisfying. Basically, that's the description of a purposeful life.
Mm.
And when I, a long time ago, I would ask myself, why am I here? what am I doing? What am I supposed to be doing here on planet Earth? And
mm-hmm.
I guess it's a good place for most of us to start asking ourselves, why are we here? And actually, I found that when I started working on adversity, that for some people, their most fiercest adversity became like their higher calling. Because
yes.
if you look at a woman who went through a horrible divorce, she is an expert now.
Yes,
She knows the ropes.
Yes.
She has mastered it. She has healed and she has moved on. So she could easily in the community be a coach, basically telling other women, how do you get out of a bad divorce? This is how you do it. She has mastered it.
Yes,
and
yes.
She could find
all
a
right.
lot of satisfaction doing that. You find that a cancer survivor, somebody who suffered cancer and they were healed,
mm-hmm.
they are so eager and happy to have a group of people who are suffering from cancer, and that person becomes an encourager, encourages
yes.
them, teaches them even how what kind of food to eat, what to do to rise above that adversity. So that's one way of finding your purpose. And
right.
the other positive way, and actually the adversity way is kind of like the really, you've mastered it. And you can tell people, I've been there, I've done it.
That's right.
So everything you are telling them, you've lived through it. And exactly. the other way of doing it is there are some people, I don't know if you've observed it, you can see what their purpose is. They come in, they light the room, they are happy, they are motivators, they inspire people. And this comes so naturally.
Yes.
And
yes.
sometimes they don't even know they have this. It's a
That's
gift,
true.
A talent. They don't even know they have it. But they need people to call it out. To tell
yes.
them, oh, do you know when you do this, this happens? Because sometimes we have to call other people's talent. We don't see them.
Exactly.
Yeah, and actually in my book I talk about a friend of mine when I lived in Africa, and she just used to love to entertain. She'd go buy flowers, table clothes, she'd go out of house and just entertain. And
mm-hmm.
one day I just told her, you know, you can do this for a living. And she said, how? And again, we put a game plan together, and today she's making a lot of money doing something that she really, really enjoys doing.
That's wonderful. That is the best thing in the world, is to find your purpose and to get busy carrying it out, because it not only fulfills you and makes you happy, but look at all the people that you touch and make happy doing what you love. And many times people are doing things just because they love it. They never think about the money-making part of it. And when you can do both, enjoy
mm-hmm.
it and make money, boy, that's a winning situation for sure.
It is.
I want to talk about retirement before we run out of time, because, well, I'm retired from teaching, and there are a lot of people in my age bracket who are in their later years. They are in retirement or they're about to retire. How can, and you know, some of these people act as if retirement is going to be some kind of end and that there's nothing after it. How
mm-hmm.
can we improve the quality of our lives in our later years and into retirement?
Actually, I'm going to start with reading a scripture, and it's in Psalm 112, 1 to 3, and it says, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, this is where we talk about the godly principles, how you have lived your godly principles of integrity, of being authentic, good stewardship, good health. And all this now brings material wealth as well. And it says that if you live a life that, you know, a God-fearing life, which means you have as much as possible, try to live your life well.
Mm-hmm.
Your seed shall be mighty upon the earth.
Mm-hmm.
You shall be blessed. And wealth and riches shall be in your house. This is when you are, you know, in your older years, you are retired. You have probably done your financial planning.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just enjoying your last years here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
But it requires a lot of planning before
mm-hmm.
you get here.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
I want you to know that a lot of people nowadays are not even considering retirement. They retire from, like with me, from one job, one career, and move into another one, not just to make money in this new career, but because they want to continue to do something fulfilling and satisfying. So for many people, retirement is not the way it used to be thought of in the many decades ago when we thought of someone sitting on the porch rocking or playing golf all day. There are many people who move into retirement to start a new life, essentially, and to do some of the things perhaps they didn't do when they were busy raising their children or busy working and so forth. So it's not an end at all.
No, it's a beginning.
It's a new beginning. I want to talk about legacy before we run out of time. We have 4 minutes. About how would you like to be remembered long after you're gone, and what's the importance of the rest of us thinking about our legacies?
Yeah, let's start from where we just left. So, you know, we are changing jobs. We are changing jobs. We're not calling it retirement anymore. And hopefully by now we have wealth and riches. So what
right.
do you do with your wealth and riches? Basically, leaving a legacy is continuing doing something for other people. You don't need to do anything for yourself anymore. And we can think about, Mother Teresa, if you like, but even in small ways in our communities, we can contribute to doing something. If you're an older person who went through some divorce, you can go and be able to coach younger women how not to make the same mistakes you made.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a business person and you are not, you don't need to make money anymore, or you need to make a little money, you can be coaching other younger people how to succeed in their businesses. What are you going to be remembered for? And I don't know whether I have time, but you think about somebody in a coffin and the community is coming. Are they happy that you are dead, or are they saying, oh, we are going to remember her for all the contributions she's made to this community. She's been helping the homeless, you know, that's the image.
Are they happy to see you dead, or were they happy to see you alive?
Exactly. You are a troublemaker. They are celebrating. So just something to think about as we go. You know, we are all busy. We have jobs. But are these jobs, you know, are they meaningful? Are they purposeful? You know, these are some of the things that it's a challenge to us today to think about. What are we doing with our time? How is it? How are we going to be remembered?
And one of the things I think about with the holidays approaching is that we love to, like you mentioned at the beginning of the show, we love to amass material things. One of the things we can do with the money we are spending instead of amassing so many material things is think about using that money to do what I call creating memories. And so, for example, when you have young children, taking them to see a special ballet, the Nutcracker, or using that money for some kind of event where the family can enjoy together. Those kind of things stay in a kid's mind forever. And that, to me, is such a much more useful way to spend your money than to buy, you know, whatever the television tells us is the thing we need to buy.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
And we're at the end of the show, would you believe it? And I want to make time for you to say some closing words before we end this show today. So what are some closing words you could leave with us? I know we've covered a lot, but what can you say that would leave us with a good thought?
Yeah, what I'm just going to, since I'm more on the spiritual side, I'm just going to tell you people out there that, you know, when we go through these challenging times, hard times, setbacks, disappointments, and all these things, we should always remember that God is our refuge and our strength, our very present help in trouble. We might think that we are alone, but really, we are not alone. God is there with us every step of the way, helping us, watching us, and really, He wants us to live life and live it more abundantly. And finally, I'm going to read you a quote that says, every adversity, every failure, every heartache carries with it the seed of an equal or greater benefit. And this is from Napoleon Hill. So, you know, every adversity, you know, every failure, every heartache carries with it the seed of an equal or even greater benefit. So when you're going through adversities, don't think about adversities, but really think about the opportunities that it is creating and, you know, take action.
Thank you. That is so wonderful. I want to close right at that point because that is something we want to hold in our minds. Let me remind all of you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, to learn about my book, my speaking, coaching, and most importantly, my upcoming holiday stress-less teleclass. I'm your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I thank you for tuning in. Please have a blessed week, a happy Thanksgiving, and remember to color your life happy.
Color your life happy.
Color.
Every day you can choose. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
Color your life.